Sound of snow.
I still consider the forest my home.
The council level, that's Narok County.
A loss of home. A loss of our entire world.
LTE.
Land.
Car.
Ecology.
Bikaba biriho ibindi zukaho nabo nabindi muto munango biriho ahubwo kuva nyandi kwizukaje
I was indeed young at the time of eviction, but I remember a few things on my side.
Akiza akabanza kuno umuzungu umwe baramweta ngo ni John.
There was a white man called John who started training the community people. They didn't have guns, they had pangas and big sticks. They would go to the forest to fight the Batwa. When the government heard about it, they came in and trained them to use the guns. And that's how they went to the forest to forcefully chase the Batwa using the guns. This is all I can remember. When the forest was reserved, we were evicted and went to stay on the margins of the forest where we are living now.
My name is Eki Bahigire Abias, 48 years old. I was born in the forest, and at my young age, when I was growing up, my parents were still in the forest. My parents would set different types of snares and traps in the forest for meat, and harvest wild yams which were our foods in the forest. We drank honey in the forest. We took it as wine, juice, porridge or milk, anytime we wanted to drink. There are stingless bees in the forest in which we got honey, which we harvested and kept in a bag woven with forest materials for 3 days to ferment and make wine for drinking. We would keep the honey for 3 days, then get it out ready to drink as wine or beer after being brewed and ready to drink. Drinking that brewed honey would make me happy. Happiness is the joy of being born in the forest.
Kukunda Sylvia, the CEO and founder, Action for Water Empowerment Group. So I have a bachelor's in public administration, and also I studied second degree with a master's in organizational leadership and management. I grew up with my mom, a single mother. I was raised by a single mother. And when I was growing up, when I was still young, it is the time of eviction. So most of my life was with the challenges of post-eviction, growing, seeing the suffering the mother was going through, of which I didn't know why we are going through all that, the way we are being treated as Batwa. I have been learning from my parents and even my grandparents about how culture was in the forest, about the water culture. They have been telling us that in the forest they lived in harmony, they practiced different ways of our culture, like marriages, language, and even celebrations, like in the case of making parties, how we used to do it, even like when we roast our parents or our beloved ones, how was that one taken? All those things we have been learning them from our parents, of which now we no longer practice them. Like, our culture was passed on from to the younger generation by our elders, like on fire gatherings in the evenings when our parents come from hunting. That is what they would do. And mostly they are in the forest, they used to do hunting, they were hunter gatherers and even fruit gatherers. They could eat wild yam, wild foods, all those things. Everything was for free, and we never had to work for food. In the forest, our culture was passed on in the evening at the fireplaces when we have finished eating and what. Now our elders would sing for us with different instruments. They sing for us, and through singing these songs, they would have meanings. Then we learn the lyrics, the deep meaning of the song, and then later we ask, what was he trying to mean? Then they will say, this one, mostly it would be like proverbs, but when they are singing. Then later it's when you would learn and say, hey, they were trying to teach us this. Like in the form of a song, when they tell you how to respect elders, still all this would be done in the songs. Yeah, so they would even tell us, like in storytelling, yet they are trying to tell us some morals of respecting the elders, of knowing the boundaries of what to do. That is what we used to do. But so all those songs have different meanings. And now all that is fading, but still the elders are trying to teach us through that experience.
konka umushigazi kuyayendaga kugira ngo agire ubuzare no muharaharwe mu mwana yakwataga ezonganga hamwe nakakoko kuba leta munentenza babiherereza.
When in the forest we laid one bed which was shared by all household members except the parents. If one of us was ready to marry, we would go into the forest to hunt for a special animal called enteza. This animal was rare and so difficult to find. When a young man got the enteza, he would bring it to the girl's parents along with meat and honey, and then they would give him a wife and bless them to go and produce children. We depended on roasted food in the forest. We would gather together to enjoy the meal as we hand over a girl to the man. When our parents went hunting and collecting yams and fruits, they would build houses up in the trees and leave us there to protect us from dangerous animals like lions and elephants.
My name is Olikiriza Derek from Buhimba Kiteruro, Batwa Settlement. I am 21 years old. My parents told us many stories when we were growing up. But there's one story which was very interesting to me. A story of a bush, an animal, and a man. The story goes, a long time ago, there lived a man in a village. He had his piece of land which he left to grow to the level of the bush. The planting season had reached and he wanted to clear the land and plant some crops. He sent 10 men to clear the bush from growing crops. They cleared the land and left one small piece uncleared, which he planned to finish the following day. When they left, an animal that stayed in that land came, started singing and jumping in the land that they had cleared, willing for it to grow again. Kambatika, kambibi. The land grew again and it appeared as if it had never been cleared. The following day, when the men came back to the field to clear the small pieces that was left, they found the whole land was bushy again and started wondering what could have made this land grow again. They cleared the land once more and the animal was hiding somewhere watching them. But this time, the people planned to hide to see what had made the land grow after they had cleared it. After some of the men hid and the others left for home, the animal came back to the field and did the same thing, singing, Kambatika, Kambibi, and the land was growing again. Accidentally, whilst jumping, the animal stepped on one of the men that was hiding. Their boss had told them not to give up and to make sure they got the person who was making this land grow after clearing and bring them to him. They didn't know it was an animal until they were hiding and saw the animal jumping and singing, and the bush was growing again. When the animal accidentally stepped on the men, they started beating it until it pleaded, please, don't kill me. The animal was almost cut into pieces when it pleaded last and told them the secret of which part can be cut to get exactly what they want. And that was its last small toes of the foot, which were cut last and gave the men sacks of millet and groundnuts. What I learned from the story is how important the land is for both peoples and animals. The man was craving land to get food, and the animal was making the land grow into bush for it to get shelter. Moso,
My grandparents had ancestors which were consulted before doing anything. And when one did something without consultation of the ancestors, he, she would not succeed, which means the men clear the land without knowledge of ancestors. And the time to plant that land had not yet reached. This is why it was growing again and again.
Until I grew up and realized that the reasons and all the sufferings I was going through was because of the eviction, the battle went through my parents when they were evicted out of their land, which is the forest. We were evicted due to conservation of the forest, and we are not given alternative way of living, which also led us to suffer, and up to now we are suffering. They evicted the Batwa from the national park, of which the Batwa were the forest keepers by then, were the conservationists, because we lived, our ancestors lived in the forest and even in harmony with the animals in the forest. And now, like though we were hunter-gatherers and even used to eat honey and some fruits, we could not destroy. We had knowledge on how to conserve the forest. Of course, we couldn't have destroyed our family or our home where we stayed. So like when we wanted to eat the wild yams, we could look for fruit, like roots. Then we keep the fruit, the tree standing. We remove a few roots, and then it keeps there. You go on another one. You know that by the time you finish looking, harvesting other fruits, the other one will have also grown other roots, then you come. But we could not destroy. The same applies to medicinal herbs. We could not cut these trees. Instead, we would look for the leaves, or we remove the bark of the trees for clothes and some medicine, but not harm the environment where we stayed. Like the gorillas, which they said they wanted to conserve the endangered gorillas, we could not harm them or hurt them because they were regarded as our cousins. So whenever we wanted to set a snare, we would first look at the footsteps. In case they are for the gorilla, we would say, no, let us not set here because the gorilla might come and pass and then we kill it, of which we could not do that. But the eviction came in as a result. They said maybe the Batwa were trying to harm the environment. They said because of the endangered species of some in the forest, that's why they evicted us, saying that they are conserving. And the conservation without people, it is not good. They would have involved the Batwa in conserving this environment. Instead, even the evicting us without prior consent, it was also not good to the human beings, because they resettled us and did not give us another alternative way of living. And yet, so they considered animals and the forest more special than the people.
In the same way, when we harvest and hunt in one place and find that the food had reduced, we would then relocate to another place where there is still plenty of food and leave that other place to regrow. For example, like leaving Congo and going to Rwanda. We lived a nomadic life in the forest in search of food because we were not farmers. This was our way of conserving the environment, because by the time we returned back, we would find that everything had grown again. and the animals had multiplied. While moving to different places looking for food, some of the non-Batwa encroached on the forest, cut down trees, built houses and did farming, thus destroying the land. It led to our eviction, that the government forced us to leave the forest to conserve it. We entered a community that was full of people and activities we were never used to. When we wanted to go back to the forest, game rangers beat us and strictly stopped us from accessing the forest again. So after the eviction, we were not compensated by the government. We were left to be squatters on other people's land, working as casual laborers to get food and somewhere to stay. The situation had not changed since then, which has kept our lives miserable, longing to go back to our ancestral homes. It is a long story that I can still recall. Young researchers came and requested that our parents take them through the forest as guides. They counted trees and leaves, and then they went back. Another big group came, and this time never used our parents as guides. A few months later, soldiers came and divided the forest into two parts and told us one is a forest reserve and another one is a national park. The eviction struggle continued. They didn't stop until every Batwa was chased out of the forest and left to suffer. Since then, they have never allowed anybody to access the forest. Because of everything that happened, even when we go near the park, you cannot find any footsteps or anything like a person trying to enter. We were not happy about the eviction process because we lost our people, our homes, and everything in the forest. That is why we want to stay close to the forest. We were extremely sad, as we were conservationists of the forest, having traditional knowledge on how to conserve the forest, not like other people who go there to destroy it.
Ya amazina ganje baranyita Geoffrey Chikoko ndyo mutwa nzari.
I am Geoffrey Chikoko, born from the forest where my parents lived. When the forest was reserved, we were evicted and went to stay on the margins of the forest where we are living now. We were working for non-Batwa as casual laborers, as well as learning from them and adopting their ways of living. Because in the forest, we were hunters and fruit gatherers. How I got the name Geoffrey GPS? I was recruited by Uganda Wildlife Authority, UWA, UWA, to work as a park ranger. Being a Mutwa, I knew all the places in the forest and I could easily track where the gorillas were for the visitors. And so they called me GPS,
Being one of the Batwa elders around who had knowledge and experience in the forest, UWA recruited me as a park ranger to guide others through the forest. Having that job made me happy because I got the chance to go back to the forest. I showed visitors my ancestral places of origin. When I lived in the forest, we did many things like worshipping, hunting, and eating roast meats and yams and eating honey. We did barter trade with non-Batwa by giving them meat in exchange for other foods. Some of the activities we do now are to entertain and perform to the tourists, taking them through the culture experience and life in the forest. Some of our children are porters and carry bags for tourists in the forest. If under supervision of park rangers, I can take you through the forest, show you our places of worship, all types of bees and honeys, and caves we stayed in and food we ate. I always tell my children and grandchildren how we worship in the forest. I bring alcohol, roasted meat, and look for some specific herbs. I bring all these on one corner of the house for all my ancestors to come and eat the food I have prepared for them. I demonstrate to my children and grandchildren some rituals we performed in the forest when we wanted things to be done. For example, having a successful hunt, marriage and children. It is now told as a story to the young generation because we no longer practice it. Because after gazetting the park, I cannot access the worship sites of my ancestors. All I can do is to tell a story and demonstrate to my kids and grandchildren how we worshipped in the forest, for them to have a sense of Batwa culture. I would love to demonstrate my culture to my children in the forest, teaching them my culture, but with no access, now I do it from the community I live in.
As the Batwa community, even when we are resettled by the different NGOs and church, we continued to face, to suffer the injustices, not getting jobs. We could do, even when you go for job, to hunt for job, they will not give you the job. So who is going to employ the Batwa? It is the church that bought us the land where we stay in, and in that land which we stay in, still, we don't have the ownership of that land. We are just like squatters on that land. They buy for you the land, and they don't give you the land ownership, the title, the agreement. And that leaves us in fear to know that maybe tomorrow or some other day we'll also be evicted out of this land.
Our lifespan in the forest was high. When we lost one of our community members, when someone died, we would shift from that place of death. We believed that that place is cursed or has bad omens.
And one of the elders, he told us that at times he would not go in the forest when he wants meat, would do some perform some things, and then the animal comes and finds him at home, and then he eats meat. He tells me, when I want meat, I wouldn't go in the forest. I would just do my things, I perform my, and then the food, the animal comes here. But now I said, then why did you stop? Ah, those things, now we stopped them. Because missionaries came and now we stopped those things. We now worship in churches, we no longer do that. But there we believed in our gods and they were very strong. Whatever we would do, it would come. However much, as I told you, still we feel that our culture is fading. Because today those elders are there, tomorrow they are no more. And when they are no more, how will we know our culture? It will be no more. Africa. There are 11 communities, 10 communities here. I feel hurt that we are only listening this into history. Now it is going to be history. So we have not been able to practice it, to see it physically with our life, or to witness it ourselves. Yeah, so they tell us we used to worship in such a god, so we had our own god of which now we don't know. Life expectancy was somehow long because we are not exposed to all these diseases, and we could eat only natural foods which are not manufactured and what. But when we reached outside, now even our culture is losing slowly because we have lost a lot, and we have not been even practicing our culture because we don't have where to practice it from. Because even where we are, it does not favor us. Like the worshipping, we don't do it. We have now copied the ways of worship for the people, for the place where we have gone. And even we have lost our family ties, because when we were evicted, people were displaced from different directions. So now, wherever the Batwa displaced from, it is the language they adopted. Some were displaced, went to Kisoro, others to Kanungu, others to Gundibujo, and all those places where they have gone displaced from, it is the languages they have adopted. And our language now, it has started fading, because they even don't allow us to practice our culture. When even we could speak, we try to speak our culture from our parents, the people still laugh at us. They'll say, you look at those people, the way they speak. Look at those people, the way they behave. Look at those people. So the environment, the way they look at us, it has also hindered us to practice our culture.
Baranyita Irifaz, Kabgana, from Ndaluga Buhoma. So, Nduma.
I am Elfazi Kabwana, a Matwa from Buhama. I am 41 years old.
So, Hanu, Alho.
Previously in the forest, we never had a church. We used to worship our own God, and we had our own way of worship.
So, Okwela Birikwego Anaho, Nanyi Nupenda Bandikwela Lichirira.
The church is fighting to get its own income. And I feel they are using us as a business to get their income.
So,
our culture is being used as a business. When I say we have been used as a business, in most cases there are many individuals and NGOs who have been taking us as tourist attraction. When visitors come, they say, you come and we show you the Batwa culture, we show you the Batwa. And then they call us, we come, we dance for the Batwa, we perform for the Batwa, and then the tourists give the money to those individuals or NGOs. And the money does not benefit the Batwa directly. The money, the Batwa are given some handouts, and they want the Batwa to keep in that poverty line. To so, like, if they develop, how will we get the money?
And how long have they been living in that place, the communities? Like, how many years?
Yeah, like for Mpung community, it is since the eviction. It is around 30 something years. Then for other settlements, it is when the church resettled them. So it is about 15 years there.
But I prefer to be called Kule. Kule is my surname. Then my first name is Yusuf, or Joseph for that matter. Yeah. I am a community health coordinator and BATWA coordinator in the hospital. We are responsible to overseeing the health of the BATWA, but also of the general population. So I've been here for the last 9 years, working with this department, and also head the mental health program, community mental health. I was a mental health a community program. It's not a hospital based, because our services are just 25% based. 75% of it is in the community. Water and sanitation is another big problem. Especially when it comes to water supply. Water supply among the BATWA is very poor. They depend on wells, protected wells, in some settlements or villages. But these days, because of the climatic changes, some wells are drying up. So water supply is now a very huge problem. The other challenge that we've noticed, again, as you said, you know, much of their livelihood before was in the forest, but now it is a gazetted place. In fact, they no longer access it. Now when it comes to foodstuffs, food supplies, it's a very big problem. Previously, before Corona, partners used to send in food, relief, and but during Corona, yes, during the period, there was some relief sent. But thereafter, like these days, there's a lot of hunger. I think their culture is not that of cultivating, or no. I think that's one of the other issues. They are just learning to do the cultivation. Especially settlements that are around Bohoma. Here, Buindi, here, this is Bohoma Town Council. However, this other survey we did, August last year, we also asked them the main source of income. In fact, main source of income for most of them, most of the households, almost over 90% is casual labor. And these days, casual labor, the activities are like going down. Sometimes, some families, these days we are asking them, especially the half of last year and part of this year, they can hardly get a meal in a day in some families. Then the HIV issues or sexually transmitted diseases also became higher during the pandemic. And those are some of the issues we've been right from the beginning. When you hear the story, that's how it has been, yeah. There's some cultural kind of belief around here. I heard some people in the local community, even including the BATWA, that there's a belief by the non-BATWA that if you say you are a man and you have a backache, and then you have sex with a Mutwa woman or girl, the backache will be healed. So somehow, if that is the case with some men, maybe they are using it just as a remedy. And that's reflected in the data that we are seeing here. Because nobody's, they impregnate them, they don't care about their children. And in fact, among the BATWA, there's a concern. They are saying, our culture, our generation is going to be wiped off.
Yeah, there are of course many challenges just that come in. These non-BATWA to impregnate BATWA girls, and at times they do defilement when the young girls are underage. But all this needs money, which the BATWA don't have, because they have to say, you have to bring this money to open up the file, then you have to bring this much, like 100,000, to do the test, because we want to be sure if you were defiled or raped. You have to bring in this much to take the victim to the prison or to the police. You have to bring this money to do the testing or to... So it involves a lot of money, which BATWA don't have. And these culprits, for them, they have money. So instead, they'll pay those people and say, ah, you tell them that we cannot manage. So that is the challenge we are going through. At times when those Batwa don't have money, they come to us and we find we don't have that budget in to follow up all those cases.
I am called Tshemirigo Oliver from Kihembe Batwa settlement. I lived in the forest and I accessed everything freely. After the eviction, I lost everything and I no longer eat what I used to eat, which has made my body weak and miserable. Now when I fall sick and don't have money for transport to the hospital or money to access the hospital, I remain home and wait for my death. Not like in the forest, where we treated ourselves whenever we fell sick. I would treat my children when they had a headache. I mixed charcoal, ash, and herbs, then put small cuts on the forehead of a sick person. He gets well. The same when any of my kids would develop high fever. I would get different herbs, boil them and leave them to cool down, and then make him drink and bathe him with herbs. When I was pregnant and time to give birth reached, I would get herbs, drink them, and smear others on the belly. Squat and give birth to my baby. To cut the umbilical cord, we used an African giant fern. Since then, after the eviction, I have lived a miserable and complicated, painful life. Because I no longer access what I used to get in the forest. It is always a painful moment for us, not being able to access health services when we need it. No means of transport to go to the hospitals or to visit relatives when they are sick. When they die, we can't go for burial because we don't have means of transport.
Because there is no way you can say you're preserving the culture when you're just talking it like history verbally, not physically or practically doing the things. Now, when you tell me this medicine used to cure this, you show me the medicine exactly. No, this is the medicine and how was it used? You show me practically how it was used, not just telling me it was a type, some kind type of the tree, you could do this, then I don't know what type of the tree.
It is very important for young people to live close to the forest of their ancestral home because it keeps them connected. It is easier for us parents when teaching our children to show them the forest in which we lived.
I know this in my local language, it's called Orhigura. And Orhigura, we usually use it, but it's used for only elders. Whenever it's like a drought season, no rainfall at all, they always come to the plant kind of like this. They plug it out with the roots, then take it to the other river, to a running river. And when you simply throw it into a river and it's taken, then from there it starts raining very heavily and contrary.
I grew up with my parents and I used to stay with them. I would go with them to the forest to collect and pick the herbal medicines such as mukulu and rukokota. When we stayed in the forest, we had knowledge on herbs. I learned a lot from my parents, and now know many herbs and how to treat many diseases with herbal medicine. When the kids have different diseases, such as kwashiorkor, we mix them and give them to the kids to drink. I looked for mukuru, rukokota, to boil the roots and give to the children to prevent them from kwashiorkor. Even adults can drink such medicine for their good health. Men went fishing and brought mudfish, which we also gave to the children as balanced diet for malnutrition. Our children never suffered from such diseases. If we still had access to the forest, we would be getting medicine to deworm our children. They wouldn't be having swollen stomachs and cheeks like now. We came to know about hospitals after the eviction. All our life, we used herbal medicine, and other community members would come to me for herbal medicine to give to their children, and I would treat them. If an adult has malaria, I know the medicine to give them. Mix some herbs, drink, and wake up very well. The medicine has many functions, such as deworming in young children, and even ladies when they have complications in their stomachs. They can take the same medicine and they get better. Then for women who are on their periods and have some complications, they can just take the powder and they get better immediately, as if one has been given an injection. This type of medicine is now in the community. You just get its roots, you clean them thoroughly, pound them, and get its powder. Mostly we used mukuru, which was very special to us and treated many diseases. Even if you asked my fellow Batwa, mukuru was very significant to us. We used mukuru and kamara mahano. For bad luck and bad omens, for instance, when someone died, we would eat the herb before leaving the place of death, such that his or her spirit doesn't follow us. It was mainly for protection, blessings, and success. Every Batwa used to have this medicine with him for protection. We would pick the leaves and at times mix them with the roots and then drink them. Mainly we would chew the roots or squeeze leaves and mix them in water to drink. I now pass the knowledge to my daughter. I taught my daughter by showing her every type of medicine and what it does, so that when the time comes and she is far from me, she knows what type of herb to pick according to the kind of sickness or disease she is having. This is how she came to learn all this knowledge from me.
We use it even currently as quinine whenever I'm having severe malaria. I just come and plug out the leaves, pound them, mix with water. They are very much bitter.
We had no medicine for anger or sadness. We would go to some quiet place for isolation, think about the cause of anger, and then pray to the gods to take away the anger. We didn't have any specific medicine for the sadness and grief. We didn't have any medicine for anger.
Daini bone yesirivya ngorakaza yicare mugwe neza murakaza we naru
Aleki, mental health wise, some of the behaviors they do, they are the ones that can tell that maybe this person mentally they are not upright because of the violence they live in. Mostly when you come and you don't know this Batwa and they want to tell you about Batwa, they will say the Batwa are violent, the Batwa are very harsh, the Batwa are abusive, the Batwa take alcohol, the alcoholist. So it is, they have many words of how they can describe Batwa. And to me, I believe that all this life they live in, it is because of the life they have lived in. the violence, it is because how they treat them. And even that abusive aggressiveness they have, it is all that caused by the nature they live in. Like getting outside the forest, now wherever you are, you're not treated very well. And all that stigma that lives in you also hinders your thinking capacity, your ways of living. And at times you end up behaving the way you're behaving because of all this. Because even when you're doing others, for you like a motor, for you tough like a motor, for you violent like a motor. So that is what leads to their mental well-being, maybe that picture which they live in. We are also human beings. I can know that this person trying to demoralize me, or this person is maybe trying to stigmatize, talk to me sarcastically. And now that one also makes someone react. Being near, close to the national park, the vermins, wild animals, they come in and encroach on their crops, which is the biggest problem. And when their crops are eaten, the government doesn't compensate them again. And at times when they try to chase away the animals far to the forest such that they can reach very far, at times they are imprisoned. Like last year, the chairman, that Kakuru David, he was trying to chase away the baboons. Then he entered the forest and they have set some satellites and they have a drone. They saw him entering the forest and they thought that he has entered the forest to collect meat, maybe for poaching. Then they came at night, the rangers came, knocked on his door and they said, You open your door. He was like, what's wrong? We saw you entering the park and it means you have killed some animal. He said, I didn't kill any animal. I was just chasing away the baboons. They said, no, we have to take you to prison. They beat him. They took him to the prison. Then after that, he had no man. What he did, he was like, please, let me sell my tea plantation and then you release me. He sold his tea plantation, part of it, and it's when he was relieved. So the second settlement.
Did you say the chairperson was in jail?
Yes.
When was this?
It was last year. Because last year we involved in many cases with UWA and the community members. It is even last year that one of our motor was killed in the forest and he went missing. And when we claimed that they killed our person, they said since we don't have evidence that he died, they cannot say they killed the person because his body went missing. Up to now, we've never recovered it. And what has left us in fear that we are not safe is that the land which we stay in, we don't have any ownership. We don't have land ownership of those land agreements for those lands where we stay. And we believe that maybe what happened to us, like in the forest, might still happen again. Because in the forest, that was our land. We had peace. We had everything we used to do. And the forest sustained us. We thought nobody would take us away from our land, but we one day to wake up, we found out that people said, get out of this forest, we want to use it, to conserve it, and they said you should not enter again, or access it again. The same way, since we don't have any land agreement on where we are staying, we assume that maybe one day, one time, someone, those people who buy for us this land, one time we may wake up and say, please get out of this land, and then we start the same life again which we are in when we are evicted. Yeah, of course, that one leaves us with mental distress or like maybe because some of as I had told you, that we are living in fear, and even we are not proud that where we are staying is our place, because at times it has been happening, like one of these NGO BDP that has been buying for them land, there is someone they gave someone land, and then that person left for work in another district, so a few months later, after leaving, they brought another person and put him in that person's land. So when we went there and said, please, this is someone's land, just that he left to go for another job, it doesn't mean that you take away this land or you give it to someone else. One person who is in charge of the land, he said, did you buy any land here? Do you have any land ownership on this land? We can use it the way we want. It means that maybe the person who gave you money, when he's no longer there, you're free to even chase us from that land.
Na government ya Uganda ayi neti bina cha trusti oba kwatanisi.
Ndateka tega ngo hanu ya tuleho obwire buringwa.
My name is Kilimunda Benon from Kikombe Batwa settlement. Batwa, we are scattered in many places. Bundibujo, Kahale, Kisolo, Rahanda, Kahungu. We have lost hope of getting our land back because the government is silent about it. We are staying in environments full of violence. In 10 years to come, how will the young generation
be?
We need our land back. We need to preserve our culture.
We can fight for the rights of the Batwa, we can speak, we can be the voice of the Batwa as long as we are Batwa ourselves. So that's why we started it, as the Batwa were educated, such that we can advocate for our rights from the government, from the NGOs that work to support the Batwa. And we also advocate for political representation, because for us as Batwa, we are not represented at any position, even from the local government up to the national level. Even when our Batwa try to contest, they will say the Mutwa cannot head or lead other community members. And that is why we believe, because of not being represented on all these positions, that's why our voices are not heard. That's why we are not represented, why our issues
Aori
is not represented.
At times they could kill us, they would beat us in the communities, they look at us, all the injustices, we could not talk. But now we feel proud to see that our young girl is the one who is fighting for our rights. Now we stand and talk and they hear, because they know when they don't listen to us, our organization Sylvia will come in. And indeed it has been helping, like you saw how there are many communities in different places in Uganda. You see, we have in Kisoro, Semuriki, where. So we are not in one place. Even when, that's why maybe I think even getting a leader, it's always difficult. So who is going to be a leader of all these battle from different communities? But hopefully we think one day it will be solved and we get our leader who can speak for our rights. At least when someone is there, he will say, because we face the same challenges, he will say, at least in Bundibujo they are going through this, and here they are going through this, and then we'll be able. Then when we have our own land and we are settled, we will be telling that we used to live in the forest, having all this, but now we have our own land where we stay in the community, and we are getting A, B, C, D. That will be our story now to tell.
Umwana we eshagama yaza kuwa mbwe eshagama yaza kutema eratekwa kwa kweru kuletwa mu chikuru. abana banje hino ubu na banyine utwana tuyikira kamwe kayikira akandi kayikira kandi bakabazira uniform y'ishomero bakavuga na abasirikari ku rugakuru n'abana bari ku rugakuru abana bari mu ishogye kiti n'abasirikari bari mu ishogye inyuma
I will tell you a story of my two children who came from school and sneaked into the forest. The forest rangers came and asked me if I had seen my children, and I told them they were already home. I have always taught my children forest behaviors, like how we moved and lived in the forest. Our walking habits are kind of related to those of animals. No making the sound of footsteps in the forest, and no leaving traces of footsteps behind. Even if I don't tell the Batwa children the forest behavior, they know it. It is a way of being inherited from their grandparents. The forest is in their blood.
Ija ibirunga aiwe
haringa jidiza sibere yugindi zikasungwa na manga zikatuza miratu igwe ingaji zacu niziza cyane
imani yorere none
ingaji zacu niziza cyane
iwacu ni kure cyane
ingaji zacu niziza cyane
itibane abazungu
ingaji zacu niziza cyane
ibagaze muri paka
ingaji zacu niziza cyane
ingawe mugarebe
ingaji zacu niziza cyane
ndacyo bari gutinya
ingaji zacu niziza cyane ijya ibirunga aiwe ari ingaji ziza zibereye bwindi zikasungwa na manga zikatuzanira duhigwe ingaji zacu niziza cyane
imani yorere none
ingaji zacu niziza cyane
ndacyo turi gutinya
ingaji zacu niziza cyane
iwacu ni muri paka
ingaji zacu niziza cyane
itwibone abazungu
ingaji zacu niziza cyane
iwabo ni kure cyane
ingaji zacu niziza cyane
imani yorere none
ingaji zacu niziza cyane
iwabo ni mubarebe
ingaji zacu niziza cyane ijya ibirunga aiwe hari ingaji ziza zibereye bwindi zikacungwa na manga zikatuzanira duhigwe ingaji zacu niziza cyane
imani yorere none
ingaji zacu niziza cyane
iwacu ni kure cyane
ingaji zacu niziza cyane
barebe
ingaji zacu niziza cyane
iparaki
iparaki yacu ya muri bwindi yari ari n'abatwa kandi abatwa bacu barabazanye we nawe rero barabazanye
ayi mama ni nyirabe rwawe
nawe rero barabazanye
ndacyo turi gutinyawe
Bye.